biscuits. I want to wish everybody a good morning and glad we're all here. And if you're in our radio listening audience, we want to welcome you. And like I said, if you have any questions on how we do things here in our services, call the number on our website and your questions will be answered. And we want to welcome any visitors that we have this morning. Our first song this morning will be number 755, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Number 755.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the sailors shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
When the roll
next section will be number 602, Sweet By and By. Number 602, Sweet By and By.
Number 602. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see. Yeah.
Let's do number 415. The name of the song is More About Jesus. Number 415. Then after this song, Brother Doug is going to lead our minds in prayer, and then we will have our classes. Number 415, a prayer and then classes.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness sing, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness sing, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus let me learn, more of His holy
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful to you for how you bless our lives every day. Thankful that we could be here to learn about you through the study of the word and also through worship. We ask you to help us tune our minds and our hearts to you, to praise and to honor and to learn from you in every way we can. Be with our teachers today and guide them and direct them in their thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you have not received one of James' study sheets today, would you raise your hand?
I think it's just the Blairs there, Doug.
Okay. Our lesson today is going to be primarily about baptism. We have went over in Acts in chapter 9, Paul's conversion. And we have reiterated it again in chapter 22, where we have went over it again. And I want to express to everybody how important it really is. Doug has also written an article, Our Walk with God, and I'd like to read just a paragraph of that. I encourage you to read the whole thing. But it says, our walk with God is also strengthened through prayer, scriptures, worship, and obedience. These are not empty routines, They are the way we draw near to the one who gives us strength. When we spend time with God, our hearts become more like His. We begin to see people with compassion, response, and patience, and face trials with peace. Each faithful step shapes us into the person He has called us to be. The reason I read that is because things where we're going to go over today is what calls us to be Christians. Not only does it call us to be Christians, the scriptures strengthen us, and that's the scriptures that we're going to talk about today, I hope will strengthen you. I'd first like for us to turn to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. In Joshua chapter 6, it talks about the destruction of Jericho. And I'm going to read some of this and point out a couple things that I think that we all should consider as in our daily walk with God, in our scripture reading, as it has indicated in the bulletin there. We have a lot in our daily life that when we walk with God will help us be strengthened. And so as we go through this, I hope that you and I can come to the same conclusion here. We'll start out with verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. Shall you do 6 days." Now he's giving him a command to go around the city. Okay? That's a command there. Verse 4, "On the seventh, priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when it makes a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all then the walls of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up every man straight before him." Verse 6, "Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, 'Take up the ark and covenant and let the 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord.' So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram of horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets." Now, it says here, "The armed men went before the priest," this is verse 9, "who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of the mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout.' So he had the ark of the Lord circling the city, going around it once. Then he came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before, but the rear guard came after the ark of the men while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once, returned to the camp, and they did 6 days. Verse 15. But it came to pass that the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times, and in the same manner that the day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. In verse 8, we find it said that it was done. The commandments were done. It also was commanded that them walk around for 6 days. They done that. It's also commanded on the seventh day to shout and blow the trumpets. And, you know, as we read this, these were the commandments of the Lord, and they followed him, and what happened? The city fell. Now, I read this to you because the Old Testament gives us a lot of insight on the things that we must do. And we also find in the Old Testament the things that people have done that got punished for them. So my point here is that these individuals, the priests and Joshua, all followed the direction of the Lord, and they were able to capture the city. And you're going to say, what has that got to do with baptism? Well, baptism is the same as a commandment. We're going to study that here in just a few minutes. And therefore, if it's not, then what's the purpose? We're going to find that out. I handed out a study sheet. By no means did I make this up. I got it from somebody else. But in the first thing I want to look at, I want us to turn to Acts chapter 16. And we'll probably, by the time we get done with this, hopefully everything is put together and everybody can understand what we are looking at. In verse, chapter 16 and verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must we do to be saved? Now we're talking about, and we've already went over this, that he is talking. Let me give you a little bit of background here so we know. We're talking about the jailer being saved here. And so he's asking what he must do. Now remember, we just went over in chapter 22 of where Paul, or Saul, was on the road to Damascus. And Christ had came to talk to him, and I also had mentioned to all you last week, some people think he was saved right there on the road, okay? It by no means ever mentions anything like that, because it asks later in chapter 22 and in chapter 9, what must I do to be saved? Both times he was told, go into Damascus, it'll be told you what you must do. So there's no way he was saved on the road. So right here, it says, what must I do to be saved? 33, we'll jump to, and it took the same hour of night and washed away their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. Now, I know we're skipping around here on this, but if you remember when we went through this, that he was preaching and teaching while he was in prison, and the jailer heard him, and as he hears him, he listens, and he found what he must do, because he asked, and he found out the importance of it was being baptized in verse 33. So, let's turn to Acts 22, verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Okay, once again, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting not being baptized? Why are you prolonging salvation? That's what it amounts to. Why are you prolonging to being saved? So the question there, I'll let you guys read what's underneath there, but the question, kind of hard because we're limited on time today with as much as I got to go over. Baptism is what for salvation? It's what?
Essential.
Essential. Necessary. It is necessary. Essential. You have to have baptism to be saved. Now, we're going to talk about it in just a minute, but why is that essential? Well, I've given you two instances right here. What must I do to be saved? Okay? In both instances, it's referred back to baptism. Did you have something, Doug? Okay. So, if it's referred back to baptism on those two instances, by the way, there's several in Acts that we have already went over. Then it's got to be necessary. Just like Joshua was told to go around six times once a day, Joshua, that's what he was told. On the seventh day, he was told to go around seven times, blow the horns, and then Joshua was supposed to tell them when to shout. And once they done what they were told, the walls come tumbling down, didn't they? So, the same instance is here with salvation. They've asked, and they were told. So, when you ask about salvation, and you're being told that baptism is necessary, to me, that's kind of a no-brainer, you know. What are we going to do? Are we going to ignore what we were just told? These two individuals asked, and they were told.
James,
go ahead.
Baptism is essential for salvation because God planned it that way, right? No other reason, really. There's nothing magical about the waters of baptism. We see other religious groups that they refer to holy water, right? But there's nothing holy about the water. The blood of Christ is holy, and that's the way we make contact with the blood is in our obedience and faith. Just like, you know, the people that marched around Jericho, there was nothing magical about that process, right? We could go march around cities every day for 7 days and then shout with a trumpet. We're not going to see a collapse of whatever fortification they might have. That process in itself has no power. Only the obedience of God to God's plan is what brings the power.
Thank you, James, because that... We're going to bring that out, but you're right. There's nothing magical in the water. It's the act of doing what we are told to do. And the washing away of sin is not because we're filthy. It's because, like James said, it's the blood that activating on the act. Just like when they were told to dip in the water of Jordan, I think it was seven times. What happened on the first six times?
Nothing.
They were told to do it seven times, weren't they?
Naaman the commander, is that who you're talking about?
I can't remember. Yeah. I didn't look it up.
The
lepers, yeah.
Yeah.
And they, nothing happened, did it?
He even questioned the process, right?
Yes.
And we might question the process, you know, why should I have to be baptized? Because God said so. That's what the servant of Naaman said, you know, if he told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? The answer was yes. He would have done whatever it took to give her a leprosy because it's a terrible condition. And yet he told him something so simple as to go get in a dirty river and get clean. And when he did it, it worked.
I also, Jamie. Yes, and the reason I'm bringing up just baptism, I mean, those are all subjects by themselves, and they're great subjects, but the reason I brought this up is because of where we were at and what this man had told me. Now, I got a question. How simple is it to someone who wants to be baptized? Anybody. What's the other? To confess Christ. There's two simple things that you really have to do in the act only. I mean, there's more to it than that, but just in the act. They made it simple so that everybody can join and be a Christian. Now, we can talk about those things that Jamie just mentioned. We can talk about faith. We can talk about grace. That all goes with it, okay? But the first step is just being baptized. Let's go on to the next one. And let's turn to Acts 8. Acts 8, and we'll read 34 through 38. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is some water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. See, those two simple commandments there at this particular time. Verse 38. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he was baptized him. Let's go over to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 25 through 33. And this talks again about the jailer, but we're going to read more of it now. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from the sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoner had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for the light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out of and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his household. And they took him the same hour and midnight and washed their stripes, and immediately they were baptized. Now, back in 30, it says, what must I do? And in verse 30, see, make sure I got this right.
Yes, 30,
30,
the 30.
Yeah, 30, yeah. 30, yeah, that's where I missed it. What must I do to be saved? Then his whole household. But here's what's important about the whole household. He spoke the words of the Lord to all of them. He preached to them. He taught them. So it wasn't something magnificent that they were all saved, that some people preach today. This tells us something different here. So when in your paper there, it says when Philip the jailer, the jailer and his family understood the gospel's plan of salvation, they were baptized the same hour. Note, they were not taught until after midnight. Thus, their baptism probably took place in the morning. But the point of it is they were taught. It tells us here in these verses they were taught. So when they talk about an immaculate salvation of an individual without being baptized, that's not true. That's not what it tells us here. Let's go to chapter 9. And we'll read verse 18 and 19, chapter 9. This goes back to Paul's conversion, I believe. 18, 19. Okay. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales and received his sight at once. And arose. He arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with the disciples. Okay. If you recall, in chapter 9, the scales had came across his eyes immediately when he was talking to Christ on the road to Damascus. Now, if you also recall that incident, he had not eaten for 3 days after that incident. As we just read, as soon as the scales were removed from his eyes, he went and was baptized before he ate, and we went over this several months ago. And so the question is, would you have rather eaten something? You hadn't eaten for 3 days. We went over this quite extensively back then. You know, some of us, you know, can't wait 2 or 3 hours or 6 hours, and we're all think we're starving. It's not 3 days. We're talking about a few hours, you know. Now, the question is, baptism is a blank matter. What would you put in that?
Urgent.
Urgent. That's what I'd put in it too. It's an urgent matter. It tells us that in chapter 9 and how important and how urgent it was, because in chapter 9, Paul said, what, you know, he went and was baptized as soon as they came off, before he ate anything. So that was urgent to him. I'm telling you, it's urgent to you. The reason it's urgent to you is, do we have any thoughts of what we're going to do tomorrow? Yes, we do, don't we? Is it going to happen? Do we have a promise of living till tomorrow? Let me ask you this question. If you was to die tonight, this afternoon, and you fail to be baptized, but, oh, I'm thinking about it, maybe in a couple of weeks when it's more convenient, maybe in a couple of months when I learn more, maybe in 3 or 4 months when I'm more able to do what the Scriptures has told me to do, would that be more convenient? In maybe our minds it might be, but not in the Lord. Let me ask you another question. Do you think that everybody in this room today knows all they need to know? No, we don't. None of us know all we need to know. I like what David Morse says, is that, because he talks about us practicing being Christians, because he talks also about a doctor in his practice. David talks about a doctor practicing medicine does not mean that he has achieved all his knowledge and everything that he needs to know. Christians the same way. We are a continually growing each and every time we study or read the Scriptures. So this is an urgent matter for each and every one of us. Even repentance is urgent matter. Somebody that has not repented of their sins that they have committed once they've become a Christian is also a very important matter, because we do not have the promise of tomorrow. I have only known of a few people, and I'm kind of thankful for that, that have known I'm only going to last a couple of days. I know I'm only going to last till, you know, sometimes when you get cancer, you got 3 months to live. Sometimes when you get cancer, you have a little bit more. We don't have that. We don't have that. In my youth, I had asked this doctor a question because I had some relatives that were close. They only lived to be such and such. Am I going to be following the same path? He goes, James, there's nothing stamped on the bottom of your foot that tells me what that answer. I want you to think about that for a minute. Since they were close relatives and they all had not made it to past a certain point, I was asking him, is that my faith? And he says, he can't answer that. So I can't answer it for you. But what I can tell you, this is urgent. Let's go on to the next one. And let's turn to chapter 8. In chapter 8 in Acts. And I'll read verse 12 and 13 there. But when they believed, Philip, as he preached the things according to the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Let's also read chapter 18, verse 8. In verse 8 it says, then Cyprus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians were hearing, believing, and were baptized. Do you get the pattern now? We have to hear the word like we're talking about today. You have to believe what is being read, not by what I'm telling you, but what's being read out of the scriptures. That's coming from God's word to come to conclusion of what we need to do. And like I said, the subject today is about baptism. So, we read those two those verses there. And here on your sheet, those believed and repented made the decision themselves to be baptized. The eunuch was baptized after he had made the decision to do so after confessing Christ. Okay? Now we've read both all that. So what would we put in our blank? Baptism is an act of blank that comes only after certain conditions are met.
Obedience.
Anybody else have a thing that they might want to put in there?
I have faith and obedience both. It's the same thing, really.
Right. Well, I put faith in there. Okay? Faith. They had faith that what they were reading is the what they needed to do, which comes to the obedience part. Okay? I think both would be fine. But we have to have faith in our heart that we are going to continue in the word and in God's will. Do you see what it says here? That comes after certain conditions are met. We have to have the faith that those conditions, after we meet them, well, we're ready. Or we have been told, we have been preached to, we have been taught. The things we've went over today has to do with having faith. We have not met Paul or Peter or any of the apostles, but we have to have faith that what it tells us in the scriptures, that what they did by preaching Christ We have to have the faith that they did what they were told to do. And by doing so, brought people to Christ. We have to have also the faith in that God is the only one, the only ruler. What I'm getting at is that we cannot see him, but we can see all his beauty. We have to have that faith. And I think that is one of the first steps that we have when we are being taught the scriptures, when we read the scriptures. Anybody have any comments at this time? Okay, let's turn to chapter 10 of Acts. Now, if you remember, now I told you all this that we're talking about today, most of it's all come from Acts that we've already studied. So it's really just kind of an overview about baptism for what we need. Let's read chapter 10, 47 and 48. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who are received the holy and just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Now this is talking about the Holy Spirit and falls of the Gentiles. But let's go on and put it together with chapter 19 and verse 5. Okay. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now before we talked about being denied the water. Should we deny someone from not being baptized? Here it says in verse 5 here, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. So could we refuse somebody? No. No. Let's go back to chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 41 and verse 47. 41 reads, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. All these things that we've talked about and all these verses talked about baptism. And without baptism, you will not be saved. Baptism and Christ is the only way you can ever have everlasting life with him in heaven. It's the only way. Now, what are we going to put in this question here? Baptism is the blank of Jesus.
Name.
Huh?
Name.
What else?
Will.
I
put authority.
Authority. That's what I was looking for. Without Christ's authority, there is no salvation. Without going through Christ, there is no salvation. He is our mediator. He is the only authority. And when we have talked all through Acts here, every time that baptism is mentioned, especially, Christ was preached first. Was it not? Christ was preached. He's the authority. He's the one. Now, when we talk about that Christ is our authority, and he's the one that we need to obey, my question is, why don't we? Why do we fail him from time to time? Well, we're just men and women that have faults. That's right. But with the things that I've shown you today, and you need to be repentance, or you need to be baptized, I see no other way. What are we waiting on? Are we waiting on the perfect day? Are we waiting on the perfect moment? What are we waiting on? Just tell me, what are we waiting on when it comes to our salvation? Salvation should be utmost important to each and every one, and to meet those standards that he has put out that we have went over today. Those standards are not from me. Those standards are from God. Those standards are what we are supposed to use as our guide to help us through life. When we don't have Christ in our life, we have nothing. Think of all the people out there that believe that Christ, but I'm okay. They have failed not to be baptized. They have failed not to worship. They have failed not to study, but I'm okay because I know God's going to save me. Is that what it has told us today? I don't believe that's one word of what we have went over today about being saved. It doesn't talk about being saved without baptism. It doesn't talk about being saved without Christ in your life. It doesn't talk about being saved without your faith that you have in Christ. Faith. Do we have so little that we don't want to go to heaven? That we think more of what the people think around us? That say, oh no, wait a minute, I'm not quite ready. My neighbor over here says, you fill in the blank. Your neighbor's not going to get you to heaven. I'm not going to get you to heaven. Christ, again, is the only one that's going to help you get to heaven. And yourself. Yourself. I believe that we've proved also today that someone that repents on their deathbed without being baptized is just a repentance on their deathbed. That's all it is. We, as humans, hope it would be more. But I believe that everything we showed you today says there is more, and that we need to do it while we have time to do it, and we're still here. I wish the whole congregation had heard of what we talked about today. But this is the Bible class. We had questions. We had answers. So I want to thank everybody for their questions and their input. It means a lot. And thanks again. We got like 30 seconds here, so.